Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel. We are a little fired up today, so we say hello to Brett Kern, former Titans punter, who is with us. Hi, Brett. How you doing?
Oh, what a time to come into the program, I guess, huh?
Yeah, you know how it is. I mean, you lose 10-6 to a bad Jags team, and this is kind of what happens. And you and I were texting, as we usually do, during the game. And look, I don't think Will played his best game. I don't think he played his worst game. I question a little bit of the play calling and maybe getting away from the run that seemed to be working earlier in the game. I definitely question trying to go for the Hail Mary at the half that, you know, he ended up getting hurt on.
Yeah.
But but overall, what was just kind of your takeaway of yesterday's game?
I think the frustrating part is that yesterday, you know, they won all three categories, the QBR, the rushing. I mean, you got two turnovers, that gives you 82% chance to win the game, which is those two turnovers, right? And I think, obviously, you know, going 0-for-2 in the red zone, coming away with 6 points, in essence, their four main drives, right? It amassed for 48 plays, 247 yards, 25 minutes, almost 26 minutes of possession, and you come away with 6 points, right? The red zone got him yesterday. If you're not going to score touchdowns, you're not going to win many games. And so, they turn over on downs twice. If you take both of those, you get two touchdowns, you get 20 points. Is that great? No, it's not. But you win a game, right? And so I think that's just frustrating. And you could say the holding call on Dylan Raiden's, like, hey, he cost us a touchdown, right? So it goes 2nd and 14, you're back. It's 2nd and 14. But then what happens on the next play? Well, there's a PI on Jones, right, on the Jags. So now all of a sudden you get 1st and goal at the 4 and you don't come away with the touchdown. So you run 8 plays in the red zone, 6 of them from the 4-yard and in, and you have Will Levis, missing a wide open chig. And I think the thing that got me a little bit on that was that after the game, you kind of heard his interview. And what did he say about that play? He said, well, I just saw the first thing that was open. Meaning to me, he knows he does not have a lot of time back there to go through his route progression, right? That's what that means to me. So for him, he saw the first thing open. Well, I'm going to go hit that person, right? He couldn't take that extra half a second to look and see Chig wide open. So I think that's there's another issue. There's some other issues that are underlined in kind of yesterday's game.
Yeah, and I don't know where they go from here. I mean, you're 3-10, obviously. No playoffs. You kind of got to start looking to next year. But what do you think the state of the locker room is at this point, especially after losing a game that, I mean, even with the way your season has gone, you probably should have found a way to win?
Yeah, I mean, you're playing for your job. You already know that, roster turnover is 35%-ish, right? Every year you're turning the roster over. Sometimes it could be 40, sometimes you get even closer to 50, which is a lot. That's huge. You have a lot of guys that are, playing on the last year of their deal. I've been through that where you're, going back to the Wiz years where you're 2-14, 3-13, and you're out of the playoffs early in December. But you have to have some sense of pride to go out there and perform to do your job, either to A, have the Titans sign you back, right, or another team. Because teams aren't really – they're not looking for players on teams that are 2-10, that don't have a winning record at this point in the season, right? They're trying to get guys, free agents from teams that are winning. And so you really have to stand out on film. And there's pride. Like the whole, like I said, we've talked about before, the whole tanking thing. I mean, obviously you guys are in the business of trying to get the best ratings in Nashville in your time slot. And, let's say for whatever reason, you guys are struggling. You're not, right? But are you guys going to tank on the show so you can say, hey, there's some young kid,
right,
coming out of Knoxville that's supposed to be, he is supposed to be a stud on the radio, right? No, you're not doing that, right? And so it's the same thing. I think you saw that yesterday. Guys are playing. They're playing hard. They're not a great football team, and I think they can be, but the problem is they're just inconsistent.
Brett, what is the absolute worst professional football game you ever played in? Does one come to mind?
I tell you what, there was probably plenty in those years that we only won 5 games over 2 years. I try to erase those memories. I think the only thing that I remember out of the year that we went 2-14 is I had my longest punt at the end of the season. I think there was maybe like 10,000 people in the stands, and we were playing the Colts, and Josh Cribbs was back there. And I think I only hit it like 45 yards because it's cold. And the thing rolled like another 35 yards. And so my longest punt of my career was, you know, I think it was 78 yards, and it rolled for like 40 in the last game of the year against the Colts. So I try to erase some of those games, and because it's not fun. I mean, you're going to work, and you're losing games, and it's just, and it's tough. But you just you have to keep grinding. You know, I had a family, my wife and my kids depended on me. And, you know, I also wanted to go out there, perform, and do the best that I can. And so I think a lot of guys are in that same situation.
Did you ever hear, you know, when it was really bad in 14 and 15 and things like that, did the GM ever come to the locker room and talk to you? I mean, did you want him to? Did you need him to? Did he ever come in? No, yes?
They were around the building. Everybody was, you know, at St. Thomas, all the offices are there, all that kind of stuff. So you see people around, you know, but it wasn't necessarily like, you know, I'm having lunch and the GM's going to come over and just have a heart-to-heart conversation or anything like that. So, but I mean, you see him around, you know, I don't know what it's like over at the building right now, but, you know, everybody knows where their offices are, and, you know, everybody sees each other. You know, I mean, when John Robinson was GM, I mean, he came to every meeting, right? And you talked to him in the hallways, sometimes about football, sometimes just about life, right? Your kids, you'd ask about your kids and all that kind of stuff. And so conversations are had. But I don't know how much those guys are kind of rolling around the building and talking to guys.
So you're looking now, you're 3-10, you got 4 games left. You know, the season's over with. I mean, is this, not say to lose a locker room, but is this where tempers flare? Is this where you get upset or guys checked out? I mean, I haven't been in that locker room. You have. I'm just curious the mindset with 4 games to go when you just came off the worst game I've ever seen played in the National Football League.
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously being there before, I think there's just a lot of guys in that room that are so competitive. And then you also have some guys that are probably coming from programs where, you know, if you got a guy that went to Ohio State or some of these big programs, they only lost 4 or 5 games in their whole college career. And then you come here and you've doubled that amount, you know, and the season's not even over with, and you're just used to winning. And so, I think I hated the feeling of losing more than loving the feeling of winning. I hated to lose. And so that was tough. And I think you have a lot of guys that are probably like that. You don't want to lose, and you're playing on national TV, right? Primetime game, no primetime game. Your games are still televised. People are still in the stadium, and you're losing. And it's embarrassing as a player. You know, sometimes you walk around, you know, walking around town when we're going to play in the AFC Championship game, you know, at Kansas City is a lot different than walking around town, you know, after a game like yesterday, right? And so it's frustrating. Guys are competitive. Guys want to play. Guys want to win. You have some guys, like I said, on contracts, right? And they're trying to play to get another contract, whether it's in Nashville or if it's somewhere else. So there's just a lot of emotions going on, and I think it's important for Brian to kind of keep it all in check the best that he can.
And that's certainly going to be easier said than done.
It's hard. It's not, you know, it's not easy because you have some guys making $20 million a year that are facing, well, wait a second, are they going to just completely reload? And am I gone? Do I have to find a new place? And you have other guys like, I mean, you look at like Mason Kinsey, right? The dude is, I mean, I've never seen somebody work as hard as he has. And he's been active, practice squad, cut, here, there. I mean, he's been all over the place. And here he is, you know, yesterday returning punts. And like this guy, you have more of those guys than you do of like Big Jeff, Calvin Ridley that are making, you know, larger contracts, right? And kind of the concerns that they have potentially compared to somebody, you know, like Mason and guys that are just, I mean, they're just fighting for paychecks. And so they just want to be able to play. They want to be able to go out there, put their stuff on film, and see what happens next year.
Did you ever think, you know, looking, obviously in the moment, you don't know how this is going to go, but looking back at when really this tailspin started is when the organization traded AJ to Philadelphia. Did you think it would get this bad?
I don't know. Like, I thought this year, you know, seeing how the Titans were playing in the preseason, and granted it's the preseason, but seeing, you know, the offensive line at times, and, you know, I remember having that conversation on the radio of the Titans going down, you know, to New Orleans and having almost a flawless first half, and you're thinking, man, this is pretty good, right? Can they sustain this? But I mean, you know, trading AJ, I mean, it was tough to see AJ go just because, you know, we were buddies, had conversations, you know, I loved watching him play, right? But yeah, I don't know. I just hope that if anything, you know, Miss Amy, you know, if you started getting into this trend of when things don't go right, you know, you just start firing people. You know, there's other organizations to look at that have done that, and it's just not good, right? I think we know those organizations and what they look like, and I just hope that, you know, because she's a great owner. I've had a lot of conversations with her. You know, I just hope it doesn't come to that. So there's obviously a lot of questions. You know, I was looking at quarterbacks. I think Will Levis can, you know, obviously be the guy next year, right? And then you look at all the quarterbacks that are available, and it's just like, okay, you bring somebody in for competition, but, like, is your guy out there? I think, you know, last week we were talking about, I think there's just more guys that this team needs to be able to build around somebody like Will.
Going to be interesting to see for sure. Brett, appreciate the time as always. We'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely. Y'all have a good one.
You too. Brett Kern, former Titans punter, joining us here on the program. We will come back and put a bow on things with What Day Is It? And celebrity birthdays. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.